It's not going to get, for either of our clubs, any more insane than that.
Oh.
And then the semi-finals happen. Then it's the semi-finals. It's back-to-back. I think we're the Tuesday, you're the Wednesday, if I remember rightly, on the second leg. We'll talk about the second legs in a minute, but the first legs, let's talk about the first legs first. Where to begin? We drew Barcelona, of course.
Of course you did.
We go away to the Nou Camp, and maybe I'm biased, and James, I'd love to get your opinion on this. Maybe I'm biased. I think Liverpool are a better side in the Nou Camp. I think we're the better side in the Nou Camp, and we get battered 3-0. Well, we don't get battered. We lose 3-0. And obviously, Messi's free kick to make it 3-0 is then followed by it's this weird 2-on-1 situation where he and Dembele are going through to make it 4-0 and they cock it up. Mm. And they're almost a bit like, oh, you know, never mind.
Doesn't matter.
Got the free. It'd be nice to have four. And you're thinking, how? I remember being in the front room with you watching it thinking, I'm just saying to you, how have we lost this game? Never mind 1-0. How have we lost this game 3-0? Absolutely ridiculous. I dug out some of the stats. I was looking at some of the stats just in preparation for this. Possession, we had 53 to their 47%. Shots on target, all right, they had 12 shots. They had 12 shots, 5 on target. We had 15 shots, 4 on target that game. We had 5 corners to their 3. Key goalkeeper saves. Alisson made 2 to their 3. So this is a game that we are in. This is a game that we are absolutely in. In my opinion, the better side, and we've lost it 3-0. Now, don't take anything away from the little magician. Again, we've already eulogised about him on here, James. You were saying before, the guy is absolutely unreal. I mean, never mind the first of his goals is pretty damn good because he reacts quickest when it comes off the bar.
Yes.
The free kick is absolutely unbelievable. There's no, you can't, it's just absolutely unbelievable. Even when he scores the second goal, his first goal, their second goal, I'm thinking, if we get out of the Nou Camp losing 2-0, given the vibe we're in, given the positivity around the club, given what's going on in the Premier League, I'm thinking, we've still got a chance at Anfield at 2-0.
Yeah.
Then at 3-0, that free kick goes in. I'm thinking, this is very hard now. But I did not at any stage ever think, like, we're out.
No, because I remember when we were talking about it at the end, and I remember saying to you, you can still be in that game. And a lot of people were giving you a lot of stick at the end of that first leg and saying, you know, it's because it was 3-0. And I remember you saying to me, you know, 3-0, strange things have happened.
But it was all over Twitter as well, wasn't it? There was loads of behind-the-scenes stuff, again, on BT, where Ferdinand, who you can forgive him for celebrating, but Lineker as well, with his Barcelona connections, was there lauding and celebrating over the Messi free kick in particular, and, you know, wow, and all of this going on. And as a Liverpool fan, it was really hard to take, to be honest. It was really hard to take because we played really well. And there's all this, you know, Barcelona, best side in the world. You know, they've done Liverpool. That's Liverpool's campaign over with. You know, they played all right in the night, but just the class of Messi and all the other. And as a Liverpool fan, it was so hard to swallow. Mm. It was so hard to swallow because I genuinely thought we were the better team. What did you make of that first leg, James? Did you think that we were the better side? Or am I biased?
I didn't watch it because Spurs lost the previous night.
sharp answer. Love it.
That's genuinely the truth. The only thing I watched of the Liverpool, because we played the Tuesday and the Wednesday, so you played the Wednesday and the Tuesday in the middle. At this point, I think we ain't going to be in the final. My headspace is not going to be any better for watching Barcelona play Liverpool and who we might have played in the final. I only turned on the second leg once it went 2-0 to you, and at which point it kind of dawned on me I might be missing something a little bit historic about to happen. So yeah. I watched
that
it.
That second game was madness.
The second game was unreal.
Just to cut in, if I can, guys,
yeah,
I absolutely would have rather played Barcelona. And we all felt that before the game. I don't know if it's going back to what I'd already said about not wanting to play the English opposition. But I guess maybe because we'd already played them and then the second time, albeit they were weaker, that we'd given them a really good game. I felt like we would have a better chance against them rather than knowing playing you.
Oh, I didn't want
essentially, Liverpool. It becomes like a league game almost.
It's that goes back to what you said before. Yeah.
I never want to play Liverpool any time. Whenever there's a draw, the team I don't ever want to get because of the impact it has personally.
Because you've got to put up with him, that's why.
Well, but that second game, that Liverpool second leg against Barcelona, I remember sitting down to watch it in our living room. And at that point in our old house, our sofas were opposite each other. And so I'm on one sofa, Lou's on the other. Liverpool score.
Divock, yeah.
I celebrated because I do.
When I didn't move.
He didn't move. Literally didn't move. I was like, are you awake? He was like, yeah. It's like, you've scored. Yeah. The second goal, I was like, yes. There was sort of a little bit of a shuffle in the seat, but not anything. The third one, mental.
But it was the nature of the game, though. It was the nature of the game. So, you know, we're going into, so you've got to remember the context of this game before we go into it, right? So we've just come out, we're 3-0 down against Barca bloody Lona, right? We've got, all right, this is Anfield and anything can happen at Anfield. And that was the light at the end of the tunnel for Liverpool fans, yes. Was that the home leg is the second game and anything can happen at Anfield. But we needed some magic. There's no doubt about it. We needed something special and we definitely got it. But at the time, at the beginning, at kickoff, we're thinking, This is a long shot. And yes. The stadium was buzzing and everything else, but it was a long shot. Don't forget, the starting front three for that game was Mane, Origi and Shaqiri. There was no Firmino. There was no Salah. He turned up in a Never Give Up t-shirt, which was quite appropriate at the time. But remember that front three. Origi and Shaqiri were playing in our front three. Wijnaldum was on the bench. And if I look at the bench from that night, we had Mignolet, we had Wijnaldum, but then we had Lovren, Gomez, Sturridge, Brewster and Woodburn. That was the Liverpool bench for the second leg against Barcelona. So wow. I'm thinking, if these boys in this first 11 can't sort this out, we've got nothing on that. Sorry, Ginny. Ginny Wijnaldum. Here's an apology in advance. But I'm thinking, there's not a lot on that bench that's going to make a difference in this game. Sorry, Ginny. Not a lot that's going to make a difference in this game. So you're looking at the boys on the pitch and you're going, you boys have got to do it. And you're looking at Shaqiri thinking, he ain't going to do it. Shaqiri! You're thinking about Origi and it's like he's good for 5 minutes at the end of games. We'll talk about him later on.
I think you should apologise to Origi as well as Wijnaldum.
But listen, we did come flying out the traps and, you know, you talk about moments. This was the third moment that I thought we could win the Champions League was 40 seconds into that game. Before Divock Origi scores, Henderson misses a sitter on 43 seconds. We have come flying out and the intent is there. And Henderson, who was absolutely, people forget about Henderson. People talk about the personal battles. They talk about the Robertson versus Suarez. They talk about Messi and Van Dijk. And they talk about all the little battles that went on. Henderson was unbelievable that game. And he set the pace. He set the tempo. He won the ball in midfield on about 30 seconds in. And 10 seconds later, I think either he whipped it into Mane to miss or Mane whipped it in and he just missed. Either way, there was a big chance on 40 seconds. And I'm thinking, that's the moment. I was like, we can score early. We can score early here. And if we score early, we've got a chance. And then, of course, Divock scores. And, you know, for a good hour, it's a very, very good game. It's a very tight game. Alisson kept us in it. People forget this. Barca created a lot of chances. Alisson's pulled off some very, very good saves. They've hit the bar or the cross or the post. They've hit the woodwork. They could easily have been out of sight. Now, remember that they fluffed up that goal for 4-0 at the end of the previous leg.
Yeah.
So, in another parallel universe, they could be 5-6-1 up on aggregate at half-time in that game. But they're not. And it's 3-1, and there's hope. And there's Ginny Wijnaldum. I mean, unbelievable. What a guy to come off the bench and score the two goals in the way that he did. The first one just coming onto it in the way that I would say is kind of unlike his game, to be honest with you. But clearly Klopp felt like we were missing that bit of thrust in midfield. I don't think Oxlade-Chamberlain was around at the time, long-term injury. We'd obviously not signed Nabil Fekir or anybody in the summer. Keita was kind of out of form and not really doing the business. So we needed somebody to be that thrust. I think Klopp chucked on Wijnaldum as a bit of a like, can you just go and do that for me?
Fresh legs.
No, I think he just said, I know it's not your game, but just get forward, just thrust, because we need somebody to do that. And that's going to help us in other areas of the pitch. So Wijnaldum was like, all right, why not give it a try? So he thrust for absolutely fantastic. And then the third goal actually comes from a Shaqiri cross, if I remember rightly. So apologies to Shaqiri for digging him out before. And apologies for Wijnaldum saying he ain't going to produce anything off the bench. How wrong was I? Because Shaqiri to Wijnaldum for the third goal was sensational. I've obviously gone absolutely mental. There's no doubt. I've gone mental on that third one. And then on the fourth one, it's genius. If Messi does it, we're talking about it for years.
I think you were on your knees when that fourth one went in, from what I remember. Off the sofa, on your knees.
It's absolutely genius from Trent. How he spotted it, the kid is class. I remember 3 years ago, I said to you, he's going to be the best right back in the country. It's a good chance he's going to be the best right back in the world. Might already be the best right back in the world. But that moment where he just catches him cold. There's nothing, there's no, like, there's no flair, there's no like amazing. He just is thinking. It's just he's beaten with his intelligence. He's just caught them cold, and Divock's there to just pop it in. Absolute scenes. It was unbelievable. And at that moment, you're like, we're through. Because Barcelona were dead and buried. Suarez's body language had gone. Messi's body language had gone. Robbo'd already given Messi a little tap on the head in the first couple of minutes, if you notice. That came out in the post-match, didn't it? So we beat them mentally, physically, all over the pitch that night. It was an incredible, incredible performance. What do you make of it, James?
All right. it was
the appetizer for what's to come the next day.
I was just thinking one of the things is interesting, it's a little bit off topic, but about obviously Ronaldo's goals, is if there's been a real criticism of Barcelona, even the great side of the early sort of decade with Xavi, Iniesta and all that, was they've always been susceptible to midfield running. I don't mean people running at them, I mean off the ball running. And that's where Wijnaldum's got his goals on that night. Mm. One of the things I wanted to ask you, Lee, was you haven't mentioned it, which I'm surprised, was obviously you had the late winner at Newcastle 3 days earlier. Do you think if Origi hadn't scored late that night, that the Barcelona night would have happened?
Good question. Because we weren't good against Newcastle either. I remember we laboured to that. And at the time, we really needed it. And I don't think, had we not got the 3 points in that game, and it would have knocked us off our stride, it would have given City...
The title would have been finished.
Yes, I think so. And it would have given City, you know, the confidence to go on and win, you know, just to walk the league, probably. I think it was important, mate. Yeah. And I do think that it provided that momentum, because I think we were coming off the back of a few games in a Premier League, a bit like the beginning of the current season, actually, where we didn't really play that great, but we were just getting results. It was that mentality that we're so famous for nowadays was starting to come through. And that was one of the early signs of, that was one of the first kind of games where you saw that mentality come to the fore. The fact that it was Divock Origi, and then he scores the first goal against Barcelona. Yeah, maybe there's some sort of nice, I don't know, maybe there's some sort of nice connection there. Yeah. A bit of confidence in him. And obviously, you know, at the time, I don't think Firmino's fit, right? So he hasn't got much choice, really, but to go with Divock Origi up front against Barcelona. But to answer your question, James, I don't think the Barcelona game would have happened in the way that it happened. No, I don't. And I think that that goal, you're absolutely right, was really, really important for the momentum going into the Barca game, because the crowd played such an important part at the beginning of that game. We're 3-0 down. You could have forgiven the crowd for being a little bit subdued.
Yeah, but that doesn't happen.
It's never going to happen at Anfield on a Champions League night. You know that.
Yeah, it doesn't happen.
No.
And that's what's great about... That's why Anfield is such a potent weapon for Liverpool in the Champions League, is because... Doesn't matter the situation, doesn't matter what's happening. We were 3-0 down to Barcelona, and the atmosphere was better then than it was in the Bayern game, in the Porto game, any other game, because the fans were like, right, we need to get behind this team. We know that if we can score early in this game, we know we got a let off on the 4-0, on the messy chance at the end of the Nou Camp. We know we've been let off there. We know that we've scraped through against Newcastle. If we can score early, and again, that goes back to that moment, that Henderson miss on 40 seconds. The crowd were like, they were up for it, they were up for it, they were up for it. And Henderson obviously spotted that. He was like, right, I'm going to, whatever it takes, just keep this crowd momentum going.
Yeah.
And then Divock kind of sets the scene for the rest of what happened. So, yeah, had he not scored against Newcastle, I think that game would have played out differently. I do.
In much the same way for us then, James, we also lost our first leg. Now, this was my first trip to the new Tottenham.
Your first game at the new stadium, yeah.
Was the Ajax game. And I must admit, this was the first Champions League game, and maybe actually the only Champions League game that I've ever watched where I've felt genuinely concerned. Because all of the other games I've kind of gone into thinking, oh, well, you know, if it's Barcelona, it's just, oh, well, it's just, you know, it's great, isn't it? Go and play in the new camp, go and play here, go and play there. Ajax coming to us, I was excited, obviously, it's my first time in the stadium, but equally, that Ajax team terrified me, because they were young, they were energetic, they were so fast, and we were so bad by this point. Like, we were so bad. I didn't even know how we'd made it through that Man City game. I still, quite frankly, don't know how we made it through that Man City game. It had all gone to rack and ruin in the league. There was no form. There was nothing to kind of back up it going well. And they came at us, didn't they, in that game? And it was like wave after wave after wave of them attacking. And I honestly could not tell you how that game ended 1-0.
They were good value for their lead after 15 minutes, James, weren't they?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, they should have finished the tie in the first leg. I'd spent probably the 2 weeks in the build-up to the game repeating to my father over and over again, this team is not a joke. Because I think having got to that point, don't get me wrong, if you could have handpicked at this stage, we got the draw we wanted. And we did know that in advance. But we were playing arguably the weakest of the three other teams left in the competition. But they weren't a joke. They'd won 4-1 in the Bernabeu. They'd overturned the deficit to win in Turin against the great Juventus side with Ronaldo, etc.
Yeah.
So they weren't a joke. And I had to keep repeating that. And within 5-10 minutes of the game, I think everybody at White Hart Lane realised it wasn't a joke. Whereas the Lloris incident kept the atmosphere really high that night when he saved the penalty from Aguero. This night deflated really quickly because of how good they were. They were levels above us. And it got to the point, you know, where you think, oh, 1-1 will be all right here. It got to the point where I was thinking early in the first half, I would take 1-0 now and leave and go and try and win the second leg. Because you had to remember, obviously, we're still without Kane. No Son. Son was suspended.
We had
nothing. So Son, obviously, without Kane becomes absolutely integral for us. So there was a feeling, I think, of just stay in the tie. And I actually didn't leave the ground that disappointed that night because I thought, you know, we're still in it.
Essentially, that was you're a bit scrapping lucky, it. Actually, wasn't it?
You're lucky. You're scrapping. Oh, yeah, definitely. You're scrapping it now. Neres hit the post and should have scored to make it 2-0. And I think you can understand it from their point of view as well. They were happy with what they had. And you would be.
Yeah.
Anybody would be happy with a 1-0 away Champions League first leg win, no matter who you're playing away from home. And I think quite rightly they were happy as well. But I don't think we were too bothered either. I certainly left and thought, right, we're still in it. It's now a one-off tie and any win and we're through. Because that's essentially what it was. It's now a one-off away cup tie. We ain't winning 1-0 anyway. So forget all that. It's going to extra time because we ain't keeping a clean sheet. We've now got time. From that perspective, it wasn't the worst thing. It's now a one-off tie. And you know at that point what you've got to do. Unlike sort of going into City where the pattern just kept changing over and over. No, what was happening that night in Amsterdam, we knew we had to win a game of football. And it was as simple as that. But yeah, Ajax should have finished the tie in the first side. They were a phenomenal, phenomenal side. What came back and haunted them was, and I think where they did them great results in the previous rounds was away from home. Now they had the pressure and the expectancy on them in the second leg. And don't get me wrong, it could have gone so different and they could have easily won that second leg. But I think at key moments, particularly when Spurs got the first in the second leg, they needed to settle and retain what they were good at, like keeping the ball. And they panicked. Briefly, they panicked.
That return leg was an incredible game, not least because they went, and again, were good value for that 2-0 lead, I think. And they're going into, so, and again, in my head, I've knocked you out. The same as I did several times in the group stage and may have done against Man City a couple of times. I'm like, well, Spurs are out. There's no way that De Ligt scores after 5 minutes. Hakim Ziyech, who I think, if I've said his name correctly, was quality in both legs. I mean, I'd love to see that guy in the Premier League at some stage. I think he's a really, really good player. So I'm thinking, well, it's 3-0 on aggregate, isn't it? Game over.
See, I don't know. I think the fact that Liverpool had that game against Barcelona the night before, that did amazing things for me as a person. Watching that Liverpool game, watching them come back against Barcelona, made me sit up and kind of go, crumbs, if they can come back from 3-0 down against Barcelona, we can come back from 1-0 down against Ajax. Like it felt like there was a shift. There certainly was in me and in my views. I just felt like, and it was at that point, remember just before this game, I said to you, do you know what, maybe it's in the stars that we have a final together. Maybe it's just meant to be.
Do you think there was a bit of that, James? Do you think there was a bit of that in the Spurs, you know, amongst the Spurs fans, looking at what Liverpool had done?
I wish at half time I'd been drinking whatever Stan was drinking because it was over. It was absolutely over.
I felt it was over.
Listen, let's put it into perspective here. We're 3-0 down away from home against a side which is far better than us.
Yeah.
There is no... It's not happening.
So what happens at half time, right? So Moura scores on 55 and 59.
I take a step back, guys, with what happened was Spurs got the hump. the Spurs got the hump with basically Ajax were playing Baby Don't Worry.
Oh, yeah, remember that at half time, right?
Over the tunnel, and the Ajax players kept Spurs waiting. Danny Rose went down the tunnel and chased a few of them to come out. And the Spurs players got the hump, and he took Wanyama off and he put Llorente on. God save you. Listen, you can't write this stuff. So Spurs got the hump. We nick a goal, a great goal from Lucas Moura. Brilliant.
And it's
goal.
The first time you hear this crowd, the Spurs crowd, the whole game. It's
I was singing the whole game, Sam, but they were good.
But they
were good.
Good. And I know you were, but you can't hear it because it's such a cauldron of noise. And yet the Spurs fans are right tucked away up at the in the gods. And they're making so much noise. And then Moura scores that goal. And you hear, for a brief second, when the Ajax fans stop, you hear the Spurs fans. And you suddenly think, and you know, that the players have heard it too. And then Moura does it again. And you think, oh, and I remember thinking...
So James, talk us through the atmosphere in the stadium when that second Moura goal goes in. Is it dead again, or what's happened?
Oh, we're soaked now. Because unlike Premier League grounds, etc., they let you take your beer up to your seats and that. So even when the first goal went in, the beer went flying. The second goal, I don't know, the second goal, why do you do that? Why do you throw your beer away anyway? I don't really understand. but somehow people have still got beer left from the second goal. So then it's
What's the atmosphere like from the Ajax fans though, mate? They must have just been like,
they panicked, didn't they? They panicked. And because what you've got to remember is, although they're a very historic and great football club, they've not been in this position themselves for 25 odd years, right? This is weird.
Yeah, yeah.
They're the only other side that's ever lost a first leg at home in a semi-final and gone through. They did that against Panathinaikos in 95. Yeah. So they're in this bubble now where they're panicking, and they've gone from this is a brilliant football team to a little bit like Spurs fans. Why does this always happen to us? that's what I imagine they're now thinking.
Yeah.
And for us now, this is a complete or bust, it's on. And we're now in that position, which if you'd have gave me, what, half hour to get one goal, and it's on. Of course. Yeah. And
in that half an hour, mate, tell me, how many pairs of pants did you go through in that half an hour? Because goodness me, did they create some chances, didn't they?
The Etihad was worse. And the reason that Etihad was worse is, you have to remember, is I was winning. I was never winning in this game until what was physically the 186th minute.
Yeah,
one and only minute of the whole tire I was winning. Whereas the Etihad, yeah, brown trousers, mate. There was a few escapes that night.
It was for me. It was that Vertonghen off the line. I was with her. I was there. And I was like, it's going to be our night. And then that Vertonghen off the line, and I just thought...
Then Llorente hit the bar as well in the dying minutes.
I just thought, maybe it's not. Like, if it was going to be anyone, I was like, it's going to be Super Jan. Oh, and I remember being like, oh, this is... And then Moura. And it was that little flick from Dele.
Oh, it was deft. Yeah, lovely assist.
And you saw it arrive with Dele, and I remember going, it's the right, Moura. Oh.
Talk us through that, James. Go on. That's got to be up there, mate, in one of your top moments, isn't it?
No, it is the top moment.
It is, yeah, absolutely.
And will ever be. Ask me again in 50 years, it'll be the same answer.
Yeah.
What you may not know is, and I don't know if it was like this for everybody in the ground, but there was no added time or anything. Nobody saw anything. So you would have known watching on the telly that it was 5 minutes added time. All I know is there's no board. There's no announcement of time added on. It actually came up on the screens after Moura scored what the added time was, believe it or not.
Oh, really?
They never put it up. So, and quite often in Europe, you'll know this, Lee, you don't get as many minutes added on as you get in the Premier League.
Correct.
So Son missed his chance, blazed it wide, and you think, that's it. Then we get a corner. This is about 3 minutes into added time, and you're thinking, like, goalie up, everything. Llorente heads it over. I think that's what you're thinking of, Lee.
Yeah.
And you literally just assume from the goal kick,
that's it.
It's over. Because we don't know the time or anything. You just think. And they're all fist bumping. As that ball goes over, Onana's giving it all that to the crowd. The Ajax defenders are in the penalty box, high-fiving each other. They think they've won. It's over. So we're just waiting for the final whistle to go when the goal kick gets retaken. And 45 seconds later, we're winning.
And it was that moment where I have gone more mental than I have ever gone about a goal.
Yeah.
And I turned to Lee, who celebrated every other goal with me, and he is sat on the sofa with his head in his hands. And I was
thinking, this lot are going to beat us in the final.
And I'm like, what the hell is wrong with you? And he looks at me and he's like, we've got to play each other. And yeah. I was like...
Now, honestly, for me, it was the weirdest goal I've ever experienced. It was the weirdest goal because my gut reaction was... I celebrated, obviously celebrated the goal because never mind allegiances, never mind the fact that I got a soft spot for Spurs, never mind all of that. It's the moment, isn't it? It's just the moment and you have to celebrate the moment. And I did celebrate the moment and then I celebrated it more because it was the Spurs moment. And then I got into the third phase of my celebration. I went, almost swore there. That was almost the first swear word. And I went, wow, we've now got to play each other. And that was a moment for me because I thought the first thing that came into my head was one of us is going to be really disappointed on May the 7th or whenever it was or later in May. I just thought one of us is going to be really disappointed. But I didn't vocalise that at the time because you were still busy celebrating the Lucas Moura hat trick.
And it took me 24 hours to get there, didn't it? Like I had 24 hours of like, this is the stuff of absolute dreams. Because if you'd have said to me back in December, back in November, back in, you know, at the beginning of the Champions League, before the group stages were finished, you're going to be in Madrid for the final. Well, it's giving me goosebumps even just saying, you're going to be in Madrid for the final. I would never have believed it. And then we should have gone out so many times during this run. To have that moment with Lucas Moura with the ball shoved up his top and have Poch running the whole length of the pitch in tears, hugging the players. It was just... And that moment where James was there and they're all standing there like in front of the away fans. It was just unbelievable.
How was that, James? How was the post-match? Because the post-match was as emotional as the match, right?
Oh, mate. The best hour of my life supporting Spurs ever. It's worth saying, you're talking about the finals here, Sam. As I said, and I said it earlier, like basically the last game of the group, Barcelona was the final. And that's how we felt then, was this is our final, this is our glory, not whatever happens later is a bonus. Suddenly we're in the final. When the goal went in, just like I said, I didn't watch any of it back on the TV for a while, because you want to hold these moments. They get lost with the amount you see on TV these days. There was basically 2,500 girls screaming is what it was. It wasn't like a rah! It was a rah! 2,500 people have just lost their shit. Everything's dropped. Excuse me, sorry guys.
The first one.
Sorry. To be fair, I've done quite well here, guys.
Because
I'm bad, and my mum wouldn't be very proud of me. And we've gone mental, and obviously because of what's happened on the first two goals, everything's soaking wet.
There's beers everywhere.
But obviously this time no one's got any beer left, right? Or if they have, they've obviously drunk it through the last half hour, surely, through the stress. And I just remembered thinking, because it's quite steep as well, we're going to die. I have to get hold of my dad. He's in his mid-60s. Yeah, I tell you what, if I'd have been 10 years later, I'd have thrown him. I would have said, go. It's never getting better than this. But I remember we scored, and you go, and I grabbed him. I caught him by the collar. I was like, get here, because we're going to go. And sure enough, the dominoes started happening and everybody's falling all over.
Oh, mate.
a crazy, crazy scene. And then, like as you'd said, an hour after... Sorry, in Europe, and the old Bill want to lock you in for 45 minutes. You're like, I really could do with getting out of here. Now, trust me, nobody would have left that place last night until they were told. We left the ground... So it was 9 o'clock kickoff local time. We left the ground, I think it was about half midnight. It just never stopped. So the players obviously celebrated on the pitch. They went in. Pochettino come out, and that's the sick in a moment. He gets on his knees in front of the away fans, starts bowing. Everyone's bowing back, singing his name. The coaches start coming, all the players come out. And everyone's just on the pitch, like having a beer on a football pitch.
Yeah.
an hour after the final whistle. It's just an incredible scene. And it never stopped singing. They threw everybody back into Amsterdam. They shut Amsterdam. They were like, these lot are going to wreck the place. They completely shut everything in Amsterdam. But nobody cared. It was just the best night ever.
It was so good. The scenes... Pochettino on his knees is the image that stays in my mind. It was just unbelievable. And he's getting emotional, and he's getting emotional in the post-match, isn't he, about the fact that, you know, he
the
can't...
The post-match one is awful. I can't watch that now.
Yeah, the post-match interview with Pochettino is a tearjerker. There's no doubt about it. He's so proud of the players. He's so proud of what that group of guys has achieved, and the fact that, you know, when we've just discussed it over the last hour and a half, you played so many finals. So many finals.
And that's how we'll end. Because that for me...
That's the end of FPL family. Please come back next Sunday.
Because you can't... But you can't... Even the final was... And, you know, you won fine. But it was... Even I think
that
you
was
would
that
say
moment,
it was
it?
Such a damp squib of a final. But this, that moment for us against... Ajax, and for you turning that lead back against Barcelona, those two semi-finals were so much better than the final.
The semis were absolutely incredible. Were absolutely incredible. There's no doubt about it. And if anybody watching or listening wants to turn off now, that is absolutely fine. I would not begrudge you at all. But if you want to keep on listening, we are going to talk about the final for a little
why
bit.
Why are we?
Well, because I think...
James is off.
James's headphones are off. He's gone. We are going to talk about the final, mainly because it was a weird old game, wasn't it? It was exactly as James described before, in terms of you don't want to come up against a team that you know from the same league.
No.
I'll be honest with you, we as FPL family, even that was an interesting experience, that 3 weeks build-up between the end of the league, Liverpool obviously not winning the league over the last few kicks of the ball in the last few games.
Yeah.
So we're obviously putting now everything into that. And then there's this weird three-week break between... the end of the Premier League and the Champions League final. For us as FPL family, that
did no one any favours.
No, it didn't.
Not at all. Not at all. And it was an interesting dynamic for us, wasn't it, as FPL family, because a lot of people were saying, oh, what's it, you know, how's it going to work in your house and all the rest of it and what you're thinking and stuff. Mm. And genuinely, and I would still say this to this day, genuinely, I didn't really think about the fact that we were playing Spurs until the day... I was just like, we're in a Champions League final. That's what's important, and we want to win it. The fact that we're playing Spurs, and that might upset you, and that might upset a lot of my family, I didn't worry about that. I just sort of blanked that out a bit. I know that's a bit bad, but I sort of blanked it out until the day.
Whereas, but I think, and I don't know about, for me, I never really thought we were going to win that game.
Why not?
Because everything had gone wrong at the Spurs. Apart from that Ajax game, which was the moment of my Spurs and probably will always be the moment of my Spurs life that I will remember, everything else had gone so wrong. And all the whisperings and all of the chat about what was going on behind the scenes and the end of the Premier League season and everything else, it just felt like there was something poisonous going on at the club. And part of me really hoped that in a one-off game against a team that we knew, we would be able to pull something out of the bag.
I did think as a Liverpool fan coming off the back of the season that we'd had, and we'd had a very good season, we come second in the league, record points total for a second, you know, place team, whatever. You know, we'd just beaten, you know, Barcelona, smashed them, you know, and even like lingering thoughts of the Bayern game and the run that we'd had, you know, the way we, you know, we go into a Champions League quarterfinal and we breeze past Porto, you know. So there was this whole, you know, even though we'd not won the league, there was still enough confidence as a Liverpool fan to go in that game thinking, we should beat these.
Yeah.
We should beat these. And the fact that it was Spurs, the fact that it was another Premier League side was a problem in my mind. I was like, well, that I'd, and again, you guys are saying you'd rather would maybe have played not us and Barcelona. 100% we'd have rather played Ajax. Mm. No doubt about
great.
It.
I bet you would.
100% would have played Ajax, but we're coming up against you guys and we're thinking, you know, if we play our game, if we play man for man, we can beat this side. And I did think in my mind, I thought, it's going to need Liverpool to have an off day.
Yes.
And it's going to need Spurs to have a good day.
And that's how I felt. I felt very much like you were the form team, because you had the league form as well as the Champions League form. We'd had these Champions League moments never really the form though, have we, James? We never really played that well in any of these games. We just had these amazing moments of games where somebody, Mora, Son, whoever it was, somebody, Llorente, popped up and did something remarkable, but the rest of the games were a bit rubbish. Like, we just never, there was never a flow about us in a very different way to what there was about Liverpool. Liverpool had this flowing football and they played as team and as a unit. We just didn't have that. And I was going into that game thinking, we are going to have to play better than we've played for 6 months if we're going to beat a Liverpool team in the form that they are, or they are going to have to be really poor and we're going to have to start well. Not this kind of, oh, we'll start playing at 60 minutes.
How did you feel about it, James? What was your sort of confidence level coming into the final?
I think it is different mindsets for both fans, isn't it? So you've obviously come off the back. In fact, just to take a step back, just talking about what you're saying about the time between the last Premier League game and the Champions League final. By the way, if they don't fix that, you're going to keep seeing poor Champions League finals.
Mate, it was ludicrous. It's it was
way
crazy.
Too long. One thing I can tell you as well, which, like, was it hot in Madrid? Was
it
stiflingly, yeah, brutally hot? It was well past 30 degrees, even at kickoff time. And they had flamethrowers in like the pre-match malarkey on the pitch.
Oh, what are you doing that for?
I'm sitting in the middle tier and I can feel the heat hitting me from these like flamethrowers and stuff. Anyway, I think like mentality wise between the two sets of fans was very different. You've obviously just lost out on the league, you'd obviously lost the previous year's final to Real Madrid. This is all business. Like, Klopp's now got to win a trophy.
Yes, 100%.
It's got to get done. Whereas for Spurs, I've been out of this competition every week for the last 6 months. Like, how many times can I keep riding my luck?
Yeah.
And we knew we were playing a superior side. Sam's right what she said. Like, if it had been the Spurs side that finished 16-17, I would have well fancied taking you on. This Spurs wasn't at its peak. We knew we were coming in with Kane fit or not fit. There were a lot of gambles in terms of selection. The midfield had not been sorted with, obviously, Dembele's injuries and then leaving on. Is a major hole, by the way, in terms of what's gone wrong at Tottenham.
I agree.
Yeah.
Totally agree.
Replacement for Moussa Dembele. So, I'd say during the game, I never thought we were going to win. But what I would say is we didn't play well. And I think it's fair to say, Lee, neither did you particularly either.
Not at all. It was a terrible game, both sides, yeah.
But if we'd have equalised, we had a little spell where sort of 75 to 85.
Yes, we did.
Where
absolutely.
It was like, we're going to go for it. If we'd have equalised, we'd have won. And nobody will ever change my opinion of that. I just think that Liverpool were in a bad spot in the game where they knew they weren't at their best. They knew they weren't playing particularly well, but we're going to get the job done.
Yes.
And I think momentum had swung our way. And if we'd have scored, which we never particularly came close to, then I really think we'd have won the game. But you were fully deserving winners on the day, despite, as you admit, not being at your best.
Yeah, I'll go back to that point you made before about the fact that, you know, there was this thing in the players' heads and in Klopp's head about, all right, well, we lost the final last year. We dare not lose it again. No. We just lost out in the league. And it was a team that deserved a trophy that season. It was a team that deserved a trophy.
Can we not talk about that? I'm sick of hearing that.
Well, it was, in my view, a team that deserved a trophy. And we're obviously not winning the league. It's like, we dare not lose this final.
I'm talking about my team, Lee.
Oh, sorry, mate. be a long time since we talk about Spurs and a trophy, mate. Don't worry. We'll be here in a few years.
It's all right, because it'll be Mourinho's first full season next year.
You are not winning anything under that guy,
joking.
Honestly.
Mourinho won't be in charge when the end of next season comes around.
Correct. So anyway, there's not only that feeling about the club and the players, but also Klopp has lost a lot of Champions League finals. He's lost a lot of finals, full stop, right? And he couldn't go into that game and lose it. He just couldn't. But I 100% agree with you. There was a period of time when we went through a lot of pairs of brown trousers because, and trust me, you could see it in the players. Mm. They were misplacing passes. It was not fluid at all. The heat was kicking in, presumably, because as James was saying, it's hot. And of course, we're watching it on the TV thinking, well, it's Madrid. It's probably 20 degrees.
And
it's fine.
The fact is that the match fitness had been lost in that three weeks.
Yeah, and it's only, and you think, you know, there's only so many games where your mentality can get you through it. We'd already had quite a few Divock Origi against Newcastle's, not least against Barcelona. And it was a bit like, can we do it again? And in the end, we could. But there was definitely that period of time when it didn't look on.
And the atmosphere is different. For the players as well, I'm sure of it. It's not just for us as fans when you're playing another English side. It's there for the players as well. They know each other. They know their games. A lot of them play together on a, in, you know, for their nationalities as well. They see each other. They know each other. They come from the same breed of football, you know, all right, in a different way, but they all play Premier League football. And it it makes a difference to the kind of game that you get. And I remember sitting there. I went to the stadium in the end. I spent a long time.
Yeah, you watched it actually at the Spurs stadium, right?
Yeah, I spent a long time backwards and forwards on what to do. And we ended up being 20 membership points away from seats in Madrid. So it was like, right, well, we can't get to Madrid. Where are we going to go? Because I'm not watching it with you.
We made that decision in the week leading up to the game. We are not going to watch it together.
I was just like, I can't watch this with you. I just, it will, it's going to be too emotional because... Normally,
it's going to end up in court, more like.
Yeah, mate, 100%.
To be fair, it's
if you'd have been in the room when I celebrated Divock,
I'd have hit you.
You would have hit me, no doubt.
I just think you can't, because I was so annoyed by that early stupidity and that handball penalty nonsense. And I just knew that I couldn't watch that final with you because you can't. If it would have been the same if it had been the other way around. You can't begrudge someone celebrating a Champions League goal for
you
their
can't.
Side.
Yeah, you can't say stop it or whatever.
And I know that I would have, I just couldn't have done it. So it was a case of either I didn't want to go to a pub. I was like, I can't go to a pub because there'll be Liverpool. I don't want to meet an Arsenal fan in there. And I was like, I don't want to just, so we'll go to the stadium. That's what we decided. And actually, I must say, it was one of, up until kickoff, it was probably the best experience I've had in a stadium up until that point. It is amazing to be in a stadium with no away fans. It was just so jubilant. We went really early. The whole of the high road, everyone was singing. It was just a fantastic atmosphere. And they did a brilliant job in the stadium. And actually, it was a really good decision. And, you know, I bought a matchday program, didn't I? And I remember buying it. My mum was why have you bought that? And I went, because if I don't want it at the end of this match, I give it to Lee.
And do you know what? It was the right thing to do because I watched it on my own in our living room. We'd not had kids, I'd have gone to the pub, clearly. But we got the kids, so I'm staying in and I'm watching it on my own. I've gone, and of course the kids are asleep, so I've screamed into, this is going to sound really lame, isn't it? I've grabbed a pillow and I'm shouting into this pillow so I don't wake the kids up. I've gone absolutely crazy with the Divock goal. The Salah goal, of course, it's not a good penalty, by the way. It might not even have been a penalty. But I did obviously celebrate it, but it's so early on in the game. You're thinking, well, you know, let's see. But obviously the Divock goal is 86 minutes, whatever it is. Of course it kills the game. So I'm going crazy. But in the time it took from you to get back from North London to where we live, I'm settled down and I'm ready to have a sensible conversation about it. And you've bought me a programme and it's fine. There's no like animosity or anything.
But there was never going to be.
Have been if you were in the room at Divock scored.
Well, that's why we couldn't watch it together. That's why we made the decision not to be together, because actually there was never going to be any animosity. By the time I've got home from North London, whoever had won the game, we'd have had enough time to prepare to deal with the other person's emotions on the back of it. Whereas had we been together, it would have been totally different.
How did you feel, James, at the game on full time? Talk us through it.
All right. Proud of the achievement. We'd underwhelmed on the day. Hung around for a couple of minutes to give them an applause because that's what they earned. But other than that, couldn't wait to get out of the place. But it was disappointing. I think it was a penalty, by the way, early in the game. I know it's controversial and whatnot, but it certainly affected the pattern of the play with the temperature.
Yes.
I can't understate how hot it was out there. And you've got two teams, particularly your own, in fairness, Lee, who want to play at high intensity.
Yes.
And I think had the game stayed 0-0 longer, I think Spurs were looking to play that way to draw Liverpool on. Now, with obviously Liverpool scoring early, it was never going to happen. So if you think of the good Spurs performances against Liverpool in recent years, the 4-1 at Wembley, the 2-2 at Anfield when Wanyama scored that screamer, the late penalties, was kind of drawing Liverpool on and out of their comfort and then Spurs springing and countering on them. And that was something that in a final, it wasn't like Liverpool were going to go hell for leather for the second goal and leave themselves open to the counter. They knew the threat was Son's pace over the top of Trent Alexander-Arnold and were going to completely shut that down. And did what was necessary of a side that obviously, as you said, with Klopp, hadn't really won a major trophy in quite a while, going back to his time at Dortmund. So they did the essentials on the day, deserved to win the game. It would have been interesting to replay it and the game stayed 0-0 for 20, 25 minutes and see how it would have panned out. But the right
it would have been interesting to play the game 2 weeks prior, wouldn't it? Without the 3 week gap.
Well, that as well, it doesn't help.
No.
It really doesn't help. So it really does need looking into. I think it came about because, like, the time when you played, say, Milan in 2005, and I think more perhaps Man United later when they played Barcelona the first time in Rome. Because it was like Premier League on the Sunday and then Champions League on the Wednesday.
Yes.
So you'd be playing like a Mickey Mouse team in the Premier League on the Sunday. But with it going back to finals on the Saturday, you've got to keep the momentum going. Now, where it's a problem in terms of fixture scheduling, where are you going to put the FA Cup final?
Yes, exactly.
You are going to end up with this blank period of final league game, FA Cup final, Champions League final, unless we revert back to what the traditionalists will hate, which is playing the FA Cup final with earlier in the season, be it game week 37, for example, or something like that.
Yeah. Well, there we go. So that, guys, is and was the road to Madrid. It was bonkers, but
15 minutes ago.
Well, he's
ruined it, hasn't he, James?
Yeah,
it's one of those where I will always look back at the highlights reels and fondly, because there's so many moments. I could go back to these moments that Alisson saved for me, the Mane goal against Bayern, where we are just the whole mentality of the football club changed in terms of we can batter the big clubs. And then the moment against Barca where it's just like, you know, we could beat Barca at Anfield. There was just these moments that just defined the journey for me. And it was just a fantastic campaign off the back of the previous year where we played very, very well. And then, in my opinion, just got bullied a bit in the final with Ramos fouling Salah and all the rest of it, right? And I've been through, I'm very lucky, I've been through a number of Champions League finals. Obviously, 05, I was, you know, understood what was going on there. I was a Liverpool fan in, what was I, probably early 20s maybe. And then, of course, the season after that, the repeat of the final against Milan, and we lose that, you know. So I've watched a lot of Champions League finals. This one will not live long in the memory as a final, other than the fact we lifted the trophy. But the road to get there was absolutely incredible. And it's great that we had, you know, we're sharing that journey with Spurs in a way, who, as we've said many times, must have been knocked out a number of times and just clawed it back from the dead so many
times.
Just
a shame that we won't have another journey this year.
Well, that is, I think, another whole video that we could do with James in the future, or another Planet FPL podcast
See you in about 20 years, guys. It's been emotional.
Through the Europa League, maybe.
Well, I was going to say that, you know, the future for Spurs under Mourinho, I think, is a whole other podcast that we could talk about.
That's a whole new ball game.
But for now, thank you, James, for joining us. It's been an absolute pleasure speaking to you.
Thank you so much.
Anybody that doesn't follow at Planet FPL on Twitter, you are doing FPL wrong. Even in these crazy times that we're in where, you know, we've got no FPL to talk about, we've got no Premier League football to talk about, James and Serge still churning out the podcast like you would not believe, guys. So get onto at Planet FPL, follow James and Serge over there. The YouTube channel's there as well. Any final thoughts, James? Anything you want to sign off with, mate?
No, I think the only, just thanks for having us on that. The only final thing to say is a little bit in terms of what happened with the final is it was obviously so euphoric for both clubs in the semi-final as well. And I think that also had a detrimental effect on what people saw in the final. Because for Spurs, in our hearts, we'd already won it. It was nothing to lose in a roundabouts way. And I think if, and it would be a long way off, we ever got to that stage again, the support would feel different and it would be about winning the football match.
Think so. Well, there we go, guys. That was the Spurs and Liverpool road to Madrid. Hope you enjoyed it. That was, I don't know what the time is, but it must be, it's coming up to like 10 past 10 here in the UK. So we've got to be knocking on nearly an hour and a half, maybe 2 hours of content. So
that's what happens when you get me and James together.
Don't know if I need to put this out as a video or as a podcast. Definitely, but it's podcastable,
it's
isn't it? It's definitely podcastable.
He's going everywhere.
Mr. James, thank you very much for joining us. We will, of course, still be tuning into Planet FPL and your daily podcast when FPL are back. But until next time, mate, see you soon and love to all the family, yeah?
Ciao, you too. Thanks very much, guys.
See you, guys.
Bye. Cheers.